Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation, despite the fact that one of our great two political parties is torn by a civil war. Which one? There are Democrats who are arguing with great passion and fervor about foreign policy, particularly policy in the Middle East with the current conflict going on. Republicans are arguing about, well, what exactly? Jeff Greenfield makes the point in a piece in Politico. His headline, A GOP Civil War, Don't Bet on It. Then the subheadline, We've Heard That Narrative Before, The Democrats Believe It at Their Peril. Jeff Greenfield is a five-time Emmy-winning network television analyst, author, and longtime political activist and analyst. Jeff, always a pleasure speaking to you.
Nice to join you, Michael.
Okay, first of all, given the bitterness with which Liz Cheney was stripped of her position, which of course got a great, great deal of attention and had Democrats applauding and licking their chops and seeing the forthcoming destruction of the GOP brand forever and ever and ever. Why is that kind of enthusiasm on the part of Democrats who are expecting the very worst for the Republican Party? Why is that wrong?
I think what this is Bush being father to the thought. I think if you look at the Republican Party, and I do not say this with a lot of enthusiasm, Donald Trump Jr. was right when he said this is Donald Trump's Republican Party. The biggest clue for me, not just what's going on in Congress, you know, the Republicans and Democrats were working toward a nonpartisan commission to look at January 6th. Trump said this is a terrible idea. Now Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell say, well, we're against it. Look at the state parties. With the single exception of in Arizona, where the Maricopa County Republicans are pushing back on the state Senate's ludicrous attempt to re-audit the vote, everything you see at the state level is whatever Trump wants, we're for. Any of our people who've opposed Trump, we're going to censor, we're going to primary. If Trump wants tougher restrictions on voting because he thinks or says he thinks his election was stolen, that's what we're going to pass. So I think when you look at the facts, while I understand why particularly Democrats and people who are hostile to Trump would like to see this sign of massive defections and a big civil war, I think the fact is that Trump, for good or ill, and you know where I stand on that, he has the Republican Party in a tight grip. And that's what the reality is. Whether this is going to be true a year from now, whether it would survive, for instance, criminal indictments against Trump, which may be coming, I don't know. But right now, with the people who are opposing Trump and the Republican Party all have former or ex before their names, ex-Senator Flake, ex-Congressman Comstock, ex-Leader Cheney, and the party is busily engaged in purging itself of anything other than a kind of blind loyalty to Trump.
Is that a gift to Democrats, or is that a way that Republicans can win in 2022?
Well, I think the other – this is a – I'm glad you asked that, because I think the belief among Democrats, among journalists who have moved way away from sympathy with Trump, if they ever had it, is this going to hurt the party? And if you look at where the Republican Party is, thanks to their hold on state legislatures, which lets them gerrymander congressional districts, thanks to the Republican bias, which is now structural in the U.S. Senate and the Electoral College, thanks to what the Republicans at every state level that I've seen, where they've had the power, are making it harder for Democrat-inclined voters to vote, I think the idea that this is going to doom the Republican Party is really misplaced. I think you have to remember that while Trump lost the popular vote by 7 million votes, he came within 42,000 votes in three states of having the election thrown into the House where he would have been reelected. If David Perdue in Georgia had gotten 0.25% more votes in November, there wouldn't have been a runoff, and Republicans would now hold the Senate. And historically, they're more than likely to retake the House. So the idea that they're in desperate shape from today's perspective seems to me more a notion of wishful thinking. But as I say, if we have this conversation 6 months or a year from now, it could look very different for a lot of reasons.
Okay, what I'm not clear about is that if you were giving advice to Democrats, and which you do because you lean in that direction, is it good for them?
I do not give advice anymore to anybody.
Okay.
I took the vow of purity 40 years ago and haven't been engaged. It's just opinions, but I don't sit down and say, here's what you guys ought to do. Not that anybody's asking.
Okay, there are people in this country, and there are a lot of them, and I think probably a majority of Democrats and a very substantial minority of Republicans who think that if you focus all our attention on Trump, this was my problem with this whole big 9/11 commission, was that I think the American people are exhausted about debating about Donald Trump and his administration and what he achieved and what he didn't achieve and what kind of person he is and what was he doing at 3 in the afternoon on the afternoon of January 6th and who was he talking to on the phone. All of that, it just produces a certain level of exhaustion. Who do you think gets helped by maintaining some kind of very intensive spotlight and focus on President Trump and his personality?
Well, that's an intriguing notion. I think under normal circumstances, I would say that's right. That the job of the Democratic Party is to convince wavering voters that they are about to make their lives better. And it's intriguing that a substantial number of citizens, according to one recent poll, does not credit the Democrats with this enormous amount of money coming in terms of, you know, income supplements and the like. The only thing, Michael, that I think separates the norm from what we're talking about now is that there's a reasonable case to be made, or at least an inquiry made, about whether the President of the United States on January 6th was actively attempting to encourage an insurrection, the undermining of the electoral count, and in that sense, the undermining of the democratic process. That's worth finding out. I do agree with you that the obsession with Trump is, in the long run, and generally, is not going to help the Democratic Party nearly as much as saying, you know what, we've made your lives better. And we did it in the face of united Republican opposition. That, to me, in a political sense, is a much better argument. But I don't see how we can simply drop what happened on January 6th down the memory hole when you have at least one account of Kevin McCarthy talking to the president and saying, please, we've got a riot here. And the president, if the account of the conversation is right, he's saying, well, those people, they're more patriotic than you are.
Right, except
that's worth looking at.
But even with it, let's say they don't put together this commission, I don't think they will. There are so many other investigations, including investigations by the Biden Justice Department. There are 400 people who have criminal charges against them already. I mean, it just seems that it's Groundhog Day to be going back to January 6th or pick 'em. The one thing about the GOP civil war, I think you're right, but for reasons that are different from the reasons that you give. But it's a provocative piece, and it's always a pleasure to speak to Jeff Greenfield on the Michael Medved Show. Coming up, what about this issue of abortion? How will that cut for Republicans or Democrats with the Supreme Court now agreeing to take up that issue? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVet Show.
Your outlet for outrage.
It's outrageous what's going on out here.
It's the Michael MedVet Show.
It is a tremendous, tremendous thing, and I'm telling you, it's going to explode.
The Michael MedVet Show.
To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/MedVet, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/MedVet. That's discovery.org/MedVet. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The Michael MedVet Show, the commission that Joe Biden had set up, President Biden, to consider the state of the judiciary in the United States, a commission where there had been great fears that it would come back with some kind of court-packing scheme. I think most people who have actually looked at the composition of the commission think that's unlikely, because it's not all that radical. There are some conservative voices on the commission. And court packing is supported so narrowly in this country, most people think it's a terrible idea, and they're right. And as many sources in conservative media pointed out, they've even found great sound where Joe Biden, when he was Senator Biden, has said court packing is a boneheaded idea. He even says it was a mistake when Franklin Roosevelt did. I don't think it's going to happen. But there certainly is going to be more attention on the Supreme Court, and maybe more attention than ever before, with the announcement that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Now, what is that? That's a new lawsuit that has held up a new Mississippi law, Jackson as in Jackson, Mississippi, that basically bans most abortions except for cases of the life and welfare of the mother that was adopted in Mississippi. Under the heading, "The Justices Take Up Abortion," the Wall Street Journal writes this: "So much for ducking the hard cases. Not long after taking up a contentious New York gun rights case, hasn't been settled yet, the Supreme Court yesterday agreed to hear what could become a landmark case on abortion rights. Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization concerns Mississippi's 2018 law that, with rare exceptions, barred abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Lower courts overturned the law as a violation of the Supreme Court's precedents, most notably the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey ruling that said that state laws cannot impose an undue burden on the right to abortion. The question is whether the current court, bolstered by new justices Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, is ready to narrow Casey or even overturn it and Roe v. Wade. The left is already predicting the latter in apocalyptic terms, but it always does." And there, in fact, is a piece in the Seattle Times by two law professors at Michigan and New York University. Supreme Court is coming for Roe. Okay, I have said all along, and I think that to the disappointment of the literally hundreds of millions of Americans, and I think it is more than 100 million Americans, who would consider ourselves pro-life, Roe v. Wade is not going to be overturned. I think that's extremely unlikely. But it could be narrowed very consistently, because if you read Roe as it was written originally back in 1973, it basically gave the states the right to regulate abortion very heavily and even to eliminate it, to block it altogether during the last trimester of pregnancy, to have some ability to limit abortion in the middle trimester of pregnancy, and to avoid interfering with abortion in the first trimester of pregnancy. Now, why was it a stupid decision? Because none of this has to do with the Constitution. And it doesn't. There is no constitutional passage that you can cite that suggests, oh, this is what the founders thought when they were laying out the Constitution. They were trying to protect women during the first trimester of pregnancy. Are you kidding? This was not the intent of the Constitution. He said, well, okay, so what? It's still a good idea. Yeah, but things that you might think are good ideas should be accomplished by state legislatures, by the legislative process. This is part of the problem that I think is increasingly the case on both sides, trying to put everything into the laps of the Supreme Court. Because, honestly, what you're doing with the Supreme Court is nobody elects these guys, or women, and guys. They aren't. They are chosen by a president, and sometimes a president can get a lot of Supreme Court appointments. President Trump is one of those unusual presidents who got three of them, and he made three outstanding appointments, in my opinion. But the idea that you want to delegate the right of people to determine their own legislation and their own rules on things as profound as abortion. Who says, by the way, that abortion law should be the same in Mississippi as it is in Massachusetts or Vermont or California, for that matter? It should be different, and it was on its way to being different when they jumped in with two heavy feet on Roe. There were already 23 states of the 50 that had, to some extent, legalized abortion before Roe. But what Roe did was take this away from the matter that can be compromised, which is what most Americans want. There's a piece in the New York Times today, and it's a very important piece in terms of perspective. It says, by David Leonhardt, with the Supreme Court set to hear a major abortion case, we look at the state of public opinion. And now the court has agreed to hear a case that could lead to overturning of Roe. Voters and legislators may soon again be determining abortion laws state by state. Yes, that's exactly the way our system is supposed to work. It is not done by people in black robes deciding for everybody. It makes all the reason in the world. If you regulate different things differently in every state, then why not this kind of regulation? These completing claims can be confusing, but when you dig into the data, you discover there are some clear patterns and objective truths. And one of the ones that David Leonhardt mentions is when you ask people, are you pro-Roe v. Wade or are you anti-Roe v. Wade? Most people don't really know what Roe v. Wade is or what it says. And most people say 60% say they are pro-Roe v. Wade. They like it, according to Gallup and Pew. And 60% of Americans say they favor abortion access in either all circumstances or most circumstances. However, there's also a clear majority of people who think there should be more restrictions on abortion. The most confounding aspect of public opinion is a contradiction between Americans' views on Roe itself and their views on specific abortion policies. Even as most people say they support the ruling, most also say they favor restrictions that Roe, at least so far, does not permit. Roe, for example, allows only limited restrictions on abortion during the second trimester. But less than 30% of Americans say that abortion should be generally legal in the second trimester, according to Gallup. So what is going on here, and what does it mean, and where are we going, and what about national and international trends for 2040? That and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As tensions remain high in Israel, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says President Biden needs to stand up for Israel in their fight against the Palestinians and Hamas terrorists.
Now is a time when the Biden administration ought to step forward and say we're going to replenish the Iron Dome munitions that are saving thousands of lives.
Cruz and other members of the GOP also saying the president needs to stop talking to Iran, which funds Hamas.
Instead of attacking and belittling and undermining the nation of Israel, President Biden ought to be standing with Israel and replenishing the Iron Dome.
White House coronavirus advisor Andy Slavitt says more than 125 million Americans are fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Slavitt also saying at least 60% of adults have gotten at least one dose. USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael Medved Show, talking about the impact of Roe v. Wade and public opinion and the fact that the overwhelming majority of people, and if you look at all these polls, and one of the points that the New York Times makes in this detailed analysis with charts and everything else, is first of all, there's not a big gender gap. There is an education gap in the way people feel about abortion. People with more education, for whatever reason, are more positive toward abortion, or what the left calls abortion rights. And the American people are deeply divided. Basically, you have about the same number of people who think abortion should always be illegal as people who think abortion should always be legal. With most people, and the overwhelming majority, somewhere in the middle thinking, yeah, abortion should be restricted, and more restricted than it is today. Things like parental notification are overwhelmingly supported. And people have strong feelings about that. But that's precisely because we have this unusual situation in America, which is different from any other country. We have the most free access to abortion, and if the Biden administration gets its way, we'll have federally funded abortions, which, of course, was blocked by the Hyde Amendment, which President Biden used to support. All of this are matters for legislatures to decide, it seems to me. Because the other difficulty is you have 9 unelected people who are not accountable because you can't vote a Supreme Court justice out of office. It can't happen. And that entire idea of leaving it in the hands of unelected officials is profoundly undemocratic. And this is what people need to understand. If the court goes ahead and significantly loosens the judicial blockage of any restrictions on abortions at all, then if they do that, this will be fought out state by state, like things are. This is why we have state legislatures. And we don't have the same laws in Georgia that we have in Oregon. They're different. And they're very different. And it's part of the genius of our federal system, is the individual states are supposed to respond to the people in the states. Now, what about all this matter of public opinion on Roe v. Wade? The one thing that I think will prevent simply saying Roe v. Wade is now overruled, it is not law, is that would be wildly unpopular. And I think that for Justice Roberts and for most of his conservative majority, and it now is 6 votes in the court, they will be unwilling to do that. But that doesn't mean that they will throw out this Mississippi law. And by the way, I think what's fascinating here is that they're taking the Mississippi law. They just passed a law in Texas about abortion, which is far more, it basically eliminates abortions with a fetal heartbeat. So it's 6 weeks, very typically, instead of 15 weeks, which brings you into the second trimester. What all of this, it seems to me, develops, and one can only hope for it, is that we will be a little bit less passionately obsessed with this, with both sides basically viewing this issue in apocalyptic terms, that basically allowing this to be decided on the state level, like you would decide the and the state level and legislatures and any other kind of medical regulation, that would be a great step forward and would be a great step away from judicial tyranny, where it's judges rather than elected representatives and people themselves who make all the decisions. Governor Greg Abbott signed into law today legislation that prohibits, this is of course in Texas, abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detected, effectively banning most abortions in the state. The restriction puts Texas at the vanguard among states challenging the boundaries of Roe v. Wade, the 1973 landmark Supreme Court case that established a woman's legal right to an abortion. Senate Bill 8, a priority for Republican state lawmakers, would allow virtually any private citizen to sue an abortion provider or others who aid and abet an abortion in violation of the new ban. That also has problems or potential legal problems that could run into some kind of court concern. It's, I think one of the reasons that I do think that they will be involved in a split the difference kind of decision, turning it back to the states, is because they did pick the Mississippi case, which is not as extreme, for instance, as the Alabama law, or I believe as the Georgia law, is not as strongly in contradistinction to Roe v. Wade. Speaking of which, looking ahead, there's a new issue of Global Trends 2040, and it's disturbing. Global Trends 2040 suggests that we are facing, in the next 20 years, a more contested world, anticipating an era even more chaotic and divided than our own, in which institutions at all levels struggle to adapt to abrupt demographic shifts, economic turbulence, runaway climate change, and technological innovation. Well, I would bet on the technological innovation for sure. The COVID-19 pandemic, which has left governments thrashing and multilateral institutions flailing, is the shape of things to come. By the way, I don't think that's true. I think that governments took a long time to try to deal with COVID-19. But if you look at a number of governments, some of our closest allies, the United Kingdom, Britain ended up doing a pretty good job governmentally. Israel certainly did. And we in the United States, in a combination of two administrations, have not done that badly. Expect nation-state-sponsored threats to intensify in the coming two decades, according to two new reports released in the first half of April by United States intelligence agencies. Competitive and adversarial relations with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea percolate to the top, while global issues like the pandemic and economic migration will strain governments around the world, including the U.S. Now, they seem to believe that North Korea will continue to be this nightmare state that it has been since its founding for another 20 years. The leading actors will be no surprise, says the report. China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea will boost their efforts to spy, disrupt critical infrastructure, spread disinformation, and steal intellectual property and money. I do not believe that this North Korean regime, right next to this extraordinarily dynamic country and culture and economy of South Korea, that the North Korean regime is going to last for another 20 years. I'm not even sure that the young beloved leader will last for another 20 years. In releasing the Office for Director of National Intelligence report to the Republic, Avril Haines, Director of National Intelligence, said the American people should know as much as possible about the threats facing our nation and what their intelligence agencies are doing to protect them. This report provides transparency to Congress and our nation's citizens with the aim of bolstering trust in our work and institutions. Okay, worth looking at in greater depth. So is a decision to throw out any kind of standardized tests for getting into one of America's most prestigious university systems. We'll get to that coming up.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things. Religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved show, there are so many crazy decisions that are made in higher education, some of them involving political correctness, involving basically smears and distortions about America and our history and our system of government. But this goes to one of the most fundamental questions about universities, is who should go. And basically, even though it's being disguised as something that is supposed to address economic inequality, I am telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, that the change that the University of California is putting forward for all the 10 campuses at the University of California system is going to have a disastrous impact in making competitive universities available only to rich people and only to people who are growing up in very successful academic homes. It's going to make social mobility, which should be a goal, it seems to me, for our society, even more difficult. The story from Forbes: the University of California will no longer use standardized test scores at all to evaluate undergraduate applicants. The most prestigious public university system in the nation, with a total of 226,000 undergrads on 9 campuses, UC signed a settlement in a 2019 lawsuit. They actually signed the settlement at the end of last week. The plaintiffs were a coalition of students, advocacy groups, and a mostly black and Latino Los Angeles area school district that argued that the tests illegally discriminated against applicants based on race, wealth, and disability, and denied them equal protection under California's constitution. The tests spawned a test prep industry that favored affluent families, said the lawsuit. So, with a suit pending In May of last year, a year ago, the California Systems Governing Board voted to phase out the test. It would adopt a test optional policy for 2 years and then stop using the test altogether. These tests are extremely flawed and very unfair, said Board of Regents member and Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kanyalakis at the time. Enough is enough. The board said that the UC would study the possibility of developing its own admission test. Well, they're not going to do that. In August, a state court judge issued a preliminary order to the suit. It barred UC from considering test scores during the pandemic, primarily because students with disabilities were not able to take tests with the necessary accommodations, and so many exam centers had shut down and test dates canceled. Okay, but now we're coming back from the pandemic. And here is the difficulty. If you don't like the current tests, if you believe the current tests are somehow discriminatory, devise better tests. But the idea that the only means for evaluating students in very, very competitive universities, look, in some of our more competitive universities, and this includes schools like UCLA, my wife's alma mater, and University of California, Berkeley, and a bunch of other UC campuses are very hard to get into. San Diego's hard to get into. It's a remarkably competitive situation, and in some schools, and this is not uncommon, they will accept 1 out of 20 people who applies. How do you pick them? What you are inviting by getting rid of test scores is, first of all, something that is overwhelmingly tilted toward females. Why? Because females generally do better on verbal tests, males do better on mathematical tests, number tests. But now you're going to have a situation if you're looking only at grades and recommendations, or what exactly? And it's a very, very different thing. This makes it so much harder for people who are coming up from a troubled school district, but who may be exceptionally bright, and who could get your attention once upon a time by doing well on standardized tests. Now that's not the case. For the upcoming application season, more than 1,425 four-year colleges and universities will be either test blind, meaning you're not even allowed to take a test and say, hey, look, I got a really high score on this test. Even if you did, and you want that to count, it can't. Test optional means that, you don't have to take a test, and you basically report only if you did exceptionally well. A nonprofit called Fair Test has found that there are 1,400 colleges and universities now have that system. And Fair Test advocates for elimination of testing requirements for admissions and scholarships. That accounts for 61% of all such institutions. In other words, they've already gotten rid of tests at the majority of four-year institutions. Wow. The settlement of the California civil rights lawsuit sends an important message to higher ed leaders across the country, says Bob Scheffler, who heads Fair Test. If you don't need tests at Berkeley, UCLA, and San Diego, you don't need them anywhere. So sometimes there ought to be at least some willingness, don't you think, to allow people to gain attention in that way? I mean, right now, it's increasing. They're asking for community involvement, community service. And the idea of being able to predict who is going to succeed in classes or in universities, or very competitive universities, one of the things that research has shown is that tests actually do a better job of that as a rule than grades. And the all-important purpose now in grades and relationships with teachers or certain teachers or some teachers, this, it seems to me, is a mess, particularly at a time when right now there are going to be more and more people applying to colleges and universities because of the enormous amounts of money the Biden administration is planning to provide for that purpose. Meanwhile, on a lower level of education, and I mean lower level both in terms of grade level, I won't use the term freshmen or sophomores or underclassmen, but there's a school district that is placing fourth graders in restorative justice circles as part of their new race-based curriculum. Wow. And there's also a new film that is showing on Netflix with a starry cast, but is it worth your time? Listen.
Now it's time for Medtainment Minute.
Amy Adams plays a psychologist with deep psychiatric problems, including a paralyzing fear of stepping anywhere outside of her New York apartment. But then she gets caught up with a mysterious new neighbor, played by Julianne Moore, in the pitch-dark thriller The Woman in the Window, now streaming on Netflix.
I'm agoraphobic. I can't go outside.
Your neighbor from across the street, she's become a friend?
No, she's become a big problem because she may be a hallucination, though the Amy Adams character is certain she's witnessed her murder. It's all obviously inspired by Hitchcock's great film, Rear Window, but here a fine cast is largely wasted because brutal violence that's supposed to be real is less convincing than the wild imaginings of the heroine. Director Joe Wright, who's done great films like Darkest Hour and Atonement, is going to have to atone for this ill-advised excursion into slasher territory. Only two stars for the star-studded but stumbling The Woman in the Window. And on the Medved Show, next time we will also be speaking about a major city announcing it will aggressively clean or remove homeless encampments. Which city? You are going to be shocked. And then a big apology from a major railroad system. Why? Because they waste so much public money? No, this has to do with the conductors saying, "Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen." We will get to that and much more in this still greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.